Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's our Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Seems can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Our Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. The Miami Heat, they lose in overtime, 123-121 to the Pistons. To start off their NBA Cup play, the in-season tournament. Talked a lot about it in the first half. Nikola Jovic, he left the game, broke his nose. It got reset. Tyler Hero had 40 points in the loss. Miami Hurricanes ranked 9th in the college football playoff rankings. They're currently seeded 4th as the highest ACC team. And some Dolphins news. Austin Jackson, done for the season. Mm-hmm. Had a knee surgery, and Mike McDaniel said he is not coming back this year. So the Dolphins' starting right tackle is done for the year. Not great. Been talking about that offensive line playing a lot better, although it did not look as good this past week. But I tell you what, that Rams team looks very talented on the defensive side of the football.
On the defensive front, yeah.
That versus.
I just think you need to have. I want to say 7 quality offensive linemen. Hopefully you have like a couple of vets, a couple of young guys, and then 2 guys you're grooming to take over. And I think the way this offensive line has worked the last couple of years, you may have had that plan, but then the way guys get hurt and how quick it forces you to do to move a lot of guys around. So it's not unique to the Dolphins as to why they may have guys out of position. It's just the nature of the sport that, you know, with offensive line, you might have 8 to 10 guys in the room, only 7 or 8 of them you expect to play, and then sometimes you got to go to 9 or 10.
Yeah, I mean, like, it'll likely be Kendall Lamb, I would assume. I mean, maybe with the full week of them knowing, maybe they'll start getting more comfortable putting Patrick Paul on that side. He's typically a left tackle. He was in for some snaps, you know, though, which was kind of weird.
Hey, that here. Let me explain something to you.
Go for it.
It is like trying to be a switch hitter when you've only batted right-handed. Everything is the other way.
Mm.
With the foot you put back, the hand you put down, It's literally trying to be left-handed or right-handed. So it's not as easy as you make it sound to just take a guy who's played most of his career on the left and move him over to the right. There have been guys, usually a lot of left tackles in college, they'll bring in and play at right tackle, but they groom him or he's done it. If you've never done it, to move a guy from the left side to the right side is a very difficult thing. So it's not something as easy as I'm going to just play him at right tackle, even though he might be one of your top six offensive linemen.
Best switch hitter of all time?
Who?
I'm asking.
To me?
Yeah.
For me, I witnessed something that's never been done. So I would say Carlos Baerga.
Oh.
And the reason why I say that, I was at a game where he had a home run from the left side of the plate and a home run from the right side of the plate in the same inning.
Yeah, you forget that guy, about a guy named Mickey Mantle, huh? Okay.
Oh, Mickey Mantle was a switch hitter?
He was.
Yeah.
Okay, then I would go Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for me,
Eddie Murray, like, you know.
And I preface it by saying it's somebody I saw.
You did see Eddie Murray.
True.
Probably and best
wait,
to
Wait. I have something. I have an autographed ball of 2 500 home run guys that played on the same team.
Who's the best current switch hitter right now?
And let's not forget the guy who just recently passed, that, you know, the all-time hit king, Pete Rose.
Yep, Pete Rose. Pete Rose. Best switch hitter in Marlins history? Luis Castillo. Different animal from the right side.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to.
Different animal from the right side. That dude, he was a wrecking machine hitting righty. Lefty was like kind of a slap hitter. But a good hitter nonetheless. 35 games
and
in a row.
And I got to give Chipper Jones credit as well.
Yeah, Chipper Jones probably. I would say Chipper Jones, definitely.
He's
Beltran.
Biggest,
Tim Raines. The best
the
one right now is.
He wasn't small.
The best one right now might be Lindor for the Mets.
Is anybody doing it? Like Lindor. Other than Lindor, like, is anybody else doing it? It's not as big a deal as it used to be.
It's not.
Like, no kids are, they don't make switch hitters no more, huh?
Not. They just stay in one position. Which is weird.
It's, you know what? A lot of that has to do with just sports in general, because, like, you used to play all the sports as a kid. Because football was during football season, then came basketball, then came baseball. Now they play one sport all year round.
Baseball's 25 best switch hitters, but this list is from 2012.
Albies for the Braves, he's a switch hitter.
Bobby
Bonilla was a switch hitter. Anthony Santander from the Orioles. He's a good power hitter. But, no. Yeah, you.
Not the art it used to be.
It's not the art that it used to be. That was a good art.
Lance Berkman?
He was a good switch hitter.
Yeah. He was a good switch hitter. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Patrick Paul. So you're saying it's a little too hard to get the footwork down.
It's not even that. Just if I came to you right now and said, for the rest of the day, you got to write left-handed. And then we're going to grade you on the weekend.
Mm.
That's what it's like.
My teacher wants
you think about your whole body being opposite. Right?
Mrs. Modica in third grade, she said my handwriting was so bad, right-handed, she wanted me to try writing left-handed.
Jeez.
Yep.
That didn't sound like a very positive statement.
Nothing shocks me more than like in basketball. Like LeBron's left-handed, but he shoots right-handed.
Right.
Tua's right-handed.
Really?
Tua's right-handed.
Wow.
My brother was like that. My brother was left-handed, but he kicked with his right foot and shot right-handed.
It's weird, man.
Just weird. Left-handers in general have a different train of thought.
Speaking of hands.
Left.
Did you see the fight last night in the Panthers game?
Ooh.
I mean, how many? What is it, like 72 blows thrown?
Woo-wee! Jonah Gadjevich was getting after it with Brendan Dillon from the Devils. Panthers lose last night. They snapped their win streak. Here was the call last night on the Panthers radio network, the great Doug Plagans.
Here's Molinskis again, a shot off a body out front, didn't get through. It's loose, played off to the far boards, and Nosek pounds it down to the end wall. And the gloves are off.
Here we
go. It's going to be Gadjevich and Dillon, couple of big, tough customers, and Jonah Gadjevich unloading with right hands to Dylan, right to the mandible. Now the jersey pulled over Gadjevich a little bit. Dylan lets a couple of rights go. These two are just throwing haymakers. Gadjevich continues to rain right hands on Dylan. Gadjevich has had his helmet knocked off. These two continue to throw, and Gadjevich takes him down. Oh my goodness, he got a hold of him there, and Jonah just kept firing.
They both fired. I don't know if you – those are two tough customers just throwing haymakers. Jonah Gadjevich got his jersey pulled over, and talk about an exhausting fight.
Holy cow, that was about
– that's starting the lawnmower just over and over again and letting it go.
Wow, what a call.
I love Dougie P when he
– what a call,
when
dude.
When he calls fights, yeah. Man.
He's better than Joe Tess. That guy can call a fight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my haymaker.
That was a great call by Doug Plage. You got Paul Maurice on the fight afterwards?
I do have Mr. Maurice.
Right, let's hear from the head coach.
Good. I mean, that's an old schooler. The linesman didn't jump in too early and let two guys hammer away. So, Yona's been injured for a while. It might be the best part. He's clearly 100% healthy. And
we know he's good. If he's out there swinging, he's healthy. Oh, man.
Coaches like that love those type of fights.
My thing is the whole thing that gets lost in that is they're on skates.
How did they keep their balance so good? That's what I'm saying.
It's orchestrated fighting.
It's real.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Really great. We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. Back after this.
Millionaire, I'm a young money millionaire, tougher than Nigerian hair, my criteria.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Leroy has gone off to Cleveland. Imagine having to talk about that team today.
Woo! I can't wait for the Jameis Bowl, though. The Browns against the Saints.
Oh! When you said Jameis Bowl, I immediately thought Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
But remember, the last time we saw Jameis was when he was getting that touchdown for the Saints when the coach told them, don't run the play.
What is Thursday night? Do you know what is Thursday night?
Yes, Thursday night's a good one. We got the Commanders versus the Eagles. Whoa, battle of the NFC
that
East.
That is good. Last Thursday night's game was crazy.
That was one of the best games of the season.
And it was like such a terrible first half, too. Then things got wild. I was just watching on TV. They got Daniel Cormier up on First Take right now. He's talking John Jones versus Stipe.
You know who he's rooting for.
Oh, he's rooting for Stipe.
Yeah, that's his boy.
Rooting for Stipe all the way. Yeah, he hates John Jones' guts. It's interesting that he's on the call, though. I mean, he's fought both of those guys. He's got a lot. He's got five fights between both of them and only one win. But
Stipe, right?
Both very good. Yeah, he beat Stipe. He beat Stipe in their first fight. And then was beating him in the second fight, and Stipe just started unloading on his body.
He hit him with a shot.
I mean, he hit him right in that. It's crazy. I mean, honestly, look, I can't even believe that Daniel Cormier ever made 205 pounds. That's impressive enough as it is. Great friend, right up there, because he didn't want to intrude on Cain Velasquez's territory. But this fight is. Look, I'm excited about this fight because
how long has it been since JJ fought?
It's been a while. I want to say 2022. I think early part of 22, I think, is when he fought Ciryl Gane and won the heavyweight championship. And, I mean, he dish-ragged him. It was not even close. The guy had come back. It was actually interesting because people have been wanting John Jones to be heavyweight for a very long time. He's one of the most unique built athletes out there. And just his like limbs and all that. But he was like 6'4". He's a moose. But, you know, he was always like, I'm going to do it when I want to do it. And so he took this 3-year break. It was 23, actually. Sorry. So it hasn't been that long. 23. Okay. And he came back. I mean, Surreal gone. I mean, he just chewed through him like a buzzsaw. It was insane. And the thing with John is, it's always like if it's a motivated fight and he's really into it, you always get the best of him. He had these couple of fights by the end of his light heavyweight run against Dominic Reyes and Thiago Santos. Very, very close fights. I think a lot of people thought that he lost to Dominic Reyes. Some thought that even Santos got the best of him. But he came back in that heavyweight, and I mean, he did such nasty work to Surreal Gane. They're like, oh, this dude is back. So he goes, he tears his pec. These guys are supposed to fight. He has a pec tear. So that puts him on the shelf for a little bit. Stipe's not. He's like, I'm not fighting anybody. Stipe's 42 years old, and he's a fireman. He's like, call me when John Jones is ready. So he had no interest in fighting in the UFC till this fight had happened. But Stipe is regarded as the best heavyweight of all time, while John Jones is regarded as the best fighter of all time. And it's an interesting thing because heavyweight is such a different animal in the UFC because longevity is just not your friend. The Stipe has the most defenses ever at 3. Like it's just such a crapshoot with those small gloves, the size these guys are, to just expect, oh, you're going to have this long, crazy run like an Anderson Silva or a George St. Pierre or a John Jones. So,
and when was Stipe's last fight?
Man, when was Stipe fought even less recently than John?
Because, yeah, if you're saying that he's a fireman and he's 42 and he's not fighting anyone other than John Jones, then
his last fight was in March of 21. He lost to, he lost to Francis Ngannou.
Oh, that's right.
And that was his last fight. So he's entering the cage now.
3 years off.
3 years off. 3+ years off. And that was a nasty loss. It was a nasty loss. But, you know, and I don't know what to make of how is it being out of the skill set that much, because I've always wondered with John, if you're not a one-punch knockout artist, who's really going to have a shot against him? And with Stipe, he could definitely knock you out, but he's more of a box your socks off, and then he'll find the finishing move somewhere along the way. It's a tough ask to say, hey, go in there and start winning a decision over John Jones. I don't know about that, dude. But
Stipe also is susceptible to get hit as well.
Hmm?
So if John hits him, it could be night-night for Stipe.
Could be. If he hits him with, like, especially, like, a knee or an elbow or something like that. Like, the one thing that's weird about John, as perfect a fighter as he is, he does not have, like, these devastating hands. It's always been, like, he'll usually get you on the ground and he'll finish you
limbs.
Out that way.
He has devastating limbs.
He's devastating limbs. He could do the spin move off the spinning elbow off the cage. That's probably his feature. But the thing that's interesting about this is, like, And I kind of get the annoyance from John here, is you have a fight against Stipe. This is one of the true, real legacy fights the UFC can have. Like, you have two guys who have actually crossed over eras here, are now in this new era of UFC, where you have all these new fans here. People are into Sugar Sean O'Malley and Ilia Topuria and post-COVID fans. It's a different youth of fan base. I don't think they really understand what this guy had done at his age, become the youngest champion, reign the way that he did, have, you know, all of the outside the cage stuff. I mean, he's the closest thing they've had to Tyson as far as, like, outside the cage distractions between suspensions and arrests,
drugs
and all that type of stuff. And the thing that's crazy about it is he was so good as a wild man.
He's still the best.
Like, he's a wild card, dude. Like, he would fight one of his best fights ever, him versus Gustafsson, the first one where he nearly lost it. He said he didn't train for that fight, high on cocaine the entire time.
He looked like
it. I mean, it was crazy. So to see these guys are both fighting on the same weekend, him and Tyson, is kind of an interesting dynamic, even though Tyson's thing is more of a gimmick. This is a very legitimate fight.
2 more days, baby.
I know, it is. I will say the quotes from Tyson are goosies, where he's like, I got the devil inside me. And even if my mother was in there, I would wreck her.
If a 60-year-old Mike Tyson is still saying that, I'm still scared. I'm crapping my pants.
I don't know, dude. That's it. Listen, Tobin, he's a salesman.
Tobin, let me ask you this. You think you could take a punch from Mike Tyson right now?
In the head?
Like anywhere in the body. Well,
I mean, I'd live, but I don't
think you live.
I think I'd live if I took a body shot, but I don't think I'd in the head. No, I think I'd go night.
No, you mean. You think if you took a body shot, you would survive? It's either one.
I think I'd survive.
Then you must have a lot of padding.
I think I'd survive. I'd probably be pissing blood for a while.
You're definitely pissing blood, but I'm just saying, like, this is still Mike, man. Like, that power doesn't go away.
Spieth says the only devil that Tyson has is osteoporosis. It's not great that he already had an ulcer issue. That's not great. That does worry me. It does worry me. But I honestly, this is what I truly think, Vlad. I think the fight is going to
be a gimmick.
It's going to be an amazing first minute, and then I think it's going to kind of suck. That's what I think is going to happen. 2 minute rounds, though. So mind you, 2 minute rounds.
That's good for Mike.
But big pillow gloves.
That's good for Jake. I don't think if they're fighting regular like Reyes gloves, he's done. I think Mike hits him. He's going to Jake Paul's going to the hospital. I know Mike's 61, and he probably shouldn't be
This has happened before. I remember this happened with Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, where they wanted him to fight with bigger gloves, and Floyd, crazy like a fox, was like, "We could fight in smaller gloves." And he did that switch very last minute, and it was like, oh, that even picked up even more intrigue to the fight. So I imagine like a Thursday at the weigh-in, they do something like regular gloves for the fight.
Extra, like a special stipulation?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Like an extra throw on top of it. And I think that gets people even more revved up about
the
fight.
You know what that means? If people get more revved up, that means people put more money into the, gambling. Because people are going to be like, oh my God, Mike is going to be fighting regular gloves.
I could see something like that happening at the final press conference. Like where they all of a sudden start talking about the gloves and the gloves go down to a regular size, and then everybody's like, oh, now I can really see Jake Paul get hurt, because that's what everybody wants to see. but I'm excited. Look, this is a Goosey's weekend nonetheless. I can't act like I'm not going to watch. I am going to watch. I'm going to be excited to see Tyson walk out with the towel. It's going to be fantastic. And then you get to watch the GOAT of MMA take on the heavyweight GOAT. I kind of feel like Stipe is going to get his ass kicked, but you can never rule him out. Yeah, I kind of do.
All right. Okay. So, all right. Say John wins, right? Which he's the favorite.
Yep.
What is there left for him to fight? Who is there left for him?
For John?
Okay,
so there's two guys that everybody wants to see him fight. All right, there's Tom Aspinall, who is the interim heavyweight champion.
Right.
British dude. He's mowing through everybody, right?
I've seen
But nobody really knows him.
Because nobody really wants
him. And he's a very nice dude. Like, he's not... It's not natural for him to be a jerk. And I see. And now this John thing is kind of, it's been interesting. I feel like it's brought that out in him. He's like, he's calling him an old man. Nobody cares about you. You're washed. And it's not true because John Jones, he's the GOAT.
Oh, he's calling John?
Yeah. He had a great thing the other day where he's like, I got a new toy for my dog. And it was a squeaky duck saying he's ducking. Throws it to his dog. Funny stuff.
So he's starting to show a personality
yes.
that will draw eyes of the public, which will then want to see him, especially
right.
if he's the good guy who's...
And John's whole thing is he didn't earn it, but he really has. He's beaten everybody at heavyweight. And in fact, Aspinall has said that he wants to fight Pejeda at heavyweight. Pejeda has said that he wants to go up to heavyweight. He wants to become a 3-belt champion. Never been done before in the history of the sport.
Pejeda's ridiculous. Bro.
So John the other day comes out, he goes and tells Kevin Ioli, and he says... that he wants to fight Pejeda at heavyweight for the BMF belt. He goes, I don't even care about the heavyweight belt because I'm fighting Tom Aspinall, it's worthless. So he is very much ducking Tom Aspinall for whatever reason and saying that he wants to fight Pejeda because he probably sees Pejeda as a more flawed fighter. Tom Aspinall is very well-rounded, and so he's like, that maybe is more of a dangerous fight, and dude has hammers for hands.
So is John doing the classic... boxing trick of not wanting to fight the guy that everybody wants to fight immediately so that you could start seeing a little flaws in his game and then you can...
Maybe. Here's the thing that's interesting, Vlad. He's very clearly the more famous guy right now is Pejeda. Everybody knows Pejeda. He's like he's probably the UFC's top guy right now outside of John and McGregor. Like the new blood guy. He is the scary guy. He walks out there. He knocks everybody out. So he's more famous than Aspinall. So I feel like it's a bigger draw of a fight. But I do think that Aspinall, him ducking him like this, it is what he is doing.
And I don't think John Jones
is. He is. I think he is.
When you're a guy of John Jones' stature,
you can do what you want.
You can do whatever you want. And yes, there are big risks when you fight guys, but you want the reward. So if he sees one fighter as a bigger payoff than the other, I'm going to go with the big payoff. And then I feel like I can win. And then I could add another title that really doesn't exist. But, you know, people seem to like the BMF title.
Man, something, dude. I can't wait for this weekend. Should be fun.
Some good fighting.
Also coming up this weekend, I want to let you guys know, we've heard it all. Men have to be strong and men have to be tough. But when it comes to our health, we need to be smart, especially if you're 45 years old or older. That's why we want to invite you guys to join Alonzo Mourning and other special guests, including Dan Marino and Ed Jovanovski at the Miami Heat Men's Health Summit on November 16th and learn how you can take a proactive approach on your health from some of the country's most renowned health experts. Plus, you guys can enjoy fun activities, giveaways, raffles for autograph prizes, and a whole lot more. There's no time to waste. Come and get a health screening like Alonzo Mourning did. It saved his life, and it can save yours. It's go time. It's Zotime. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/Zotime. That's baptisthealth.net/Zotime.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Welcome back, you rascals. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2. Want to let you know about a couple things coming up here. First off, you guys can join WQAM in Hollywood from the Joe Rose Show this Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Tamarack Moose Lodge on Rock Island Road in Tamarack and watch Miami take on Las Vegas in pro football action. You guys can enjoy ice-cold beer specials and get yourself entered to win a golf foursome at Jacaranda Golf Club. So check that on out. If you're looking for a place to watch the game, go join Hollywood at the Tamarack Moose Lodge on Rock Island Road in Tamarack. Meanwhile, we got Whiskey Stars and Cigars coming on up. It's almost here. It's presented by WQM and Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall. You guys can talk sports with the WQM on-air staff Wednesday, November 20th at Tabacone Cigars and Spirits in Plantation Walk. You guys can enjoy a sample of Aberfeldy 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey and a cigar from Drew Estate. That's Wednesday, November 20th at Tabacone Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk. It's presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall, your 2023 Dealer of the Year, and sponsored by the main man. There's nobody better to help you flip your biz and cash out big than the main man, and by the injury law firm of Cohen & Judah, where a partner handles every single case. Call 866-FAIR-FEE. What's not fair is the way that he lost last night.
You're still hurting, aren't you?
I'm not in a good place.
You know what stinks about that loss? You got to spend the next 2 days in Detroit.
In Detroit, and then
Indy.
And then Indy.
Ugh.
Yeah, a lot of days off to think about it. I saw Jimmy was with his trainer on Instagram, so that kind of gives me hope that
he
might be close.
I was going to ask you that question. He wasn't on the bench. Has he traveled with the team since the injury?
Yeah, he's been with the team.
Okay.
So he was just in the locker room.
He was in rehab?
Yeah, he was in the locker room when Nico came in after his game winner. So, no, he's been traveling. He's been posting that. He's been at all the places they've been. He hasn't left the team. And I think I don't have any insight on it. I'm just kind of leaning, like, if he has a full week off, feel like he could maybe make his way back, but you never know with him. His feet, he's very tricky with it. But one guy who's balling is Tyler Hero, and his teammate Bam Adebayo, he believes the All-Star game is in Boy Wonder's future. Here's Bam.
Man, he's having a hell of a year, man, and he deserves that All-Star nod, man. Like, you know, we've been pushing him for the last 3-4 years to get that nod, and it's like the time he's healthy, you know, playing at his own pace, you know, making decisions, making plays. We got to figure this thing out.
Man, he was good. He was really good.
There's not many players that when they that you have you're starting to become must watch. Yeah. That Tyler is becoming starting to become must
He's
watch.
Fun, man.
Because that fourth quarter, there's not, like I said, there's not many players that get you excited like this. When they go on a run, you're like, oh my God, like every time he shoots, feels like fire was
coming
out the
ball.
Yeah,
that was an impossible game for him to put into overtime the way that he did. He was a complete flamethrower.
They were like, they were down 9, I remember, and then all of a sudden, before you could say your name, it's like, wait, it's a tie game all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then there was part of me that was worried because of the way that was going for Terry, that when he was driving to the basket, I'm like, he's not going to go for the three. He's like, nope, he kicks it out to Tyler.
Oh! No, I'm happy. I tell you this, the Terry and Tyler combo, you could see that they really, like, it's really coming together. Because I think Terry wanted to fool everybody to think he was going to take the layup. And then immediately look for Tyler. And what I love was the minute that ball hit Tyler's hand, that was going up. Like, there was no dribble to move to the spot. It just got into his hands. He released it, and it was nothing but net.
Yeah,
like,
all
those shots were nothing but net.
They were down 9. Isaiah Stewart got that offensive rebound jam, and they were down 111-102. Hero gets to 111-105. Then he gets it to 111-108. They're under a minute left. They get the steal. And Terry Rozier kicks it out to Tyler to tie it at 111.
But when he hit that three to make it 111-108, that's when he was on fire.
I haven't mentioned it, but he was totally fouled at the end of regulation, too. He should have gone to the free throw line. That'll definitely come out in the 2-minute report. Not that anybody cares, because we're all sulking over Spo. Tyler was definitely fouled. He should have been going to the free throw line at the end of that game. But it is what it is. It is what it is. Here is Tyler Hero. We all know that it ended in disaster because Eric Spoelstra called timeout. And but Tyler says, that's okay, Spo, I still love you.
I mean, he's one of the best coaches ever. So, I mean, it happens, you know. Great players make bad plays. Great coaches, you know, sometimes he made a tough decision. Like I said, it was a intense moment, high emotions on both ends, going back and forth all game. And, you know, sometimes you get caught up in that. But, I mean, he won us the game last game, and we'll take it. We're riding with Spo no matter what.
He's riding with Spo no matter what. Tough, man. Tough one to sink in, for sure.
Plus, you still want to win. Like, you want to win these so you can go to Vegas. Remember, that was your thing. You wanted them to go to the Vegas so they could be together for the NBA Cup to try to win.
I would like them to. I want them to go. And I think that's the thing that's been frustrating. Is, like, I do think that they're a Heat team. I think they're competing. I think a lot of games last year, man, they just, like, kind of let go. You could just tell. Like, they weren't into it, right? This Heat team has had fight. They've had fight. And I know nobody wants to hear it because it's been the same core forever. They're 4-6. I'm Wile E. Coyote, big homer. I get it. I deserve all of that. However, they're just right there, baby. I really feel like a couple things, it's going to turn around. All we need to do is just tinker some things. Terry Rozier's got to get it together. He has been, he has been building a brick house. But I feel like he's going to go on one of those hot stretches eventually. Kalel Ware needs to play more. Pella needs to play more. Jaime and Kate had a nice little back and forth in the third quarter yesterday. That was fun to watch.
Nico,
dude. Yeah, we lost Nico in the midst of yesterday. I do like a lot of these pieces. I really do. I like this team.
I'm telling you right now, H2O is kind of, he's growing on me right now. Haywood Highsmith?
Oh, what a game he had.
Yeah,
those hands that he has to cause deflections and steals.
He is annoying as a defender. He doesn't hit the ball on your hand. He gets the ball. Like when he hits the ball, that ball's coming out of your hands and it's a loose ball. And like you said, you noticed it during the preseason, but they're in the top 5 right now.
I just think
steals.
Tyler playing like this, I know Bam's shooting is going to come around. Bam had moments yesterday I know people get frustrated with. He deserves it. That's what happens. You're facing the franchise, max contract. You deserve the heat. And he definitely had moments where missing the free throws, obviously losing Durin, not catching the lob and putting it down. But he also, I mean, first of all, he had that sick-ass alley-oop that he had from Duncan Robinson. That was crazy. And then he started finding his shot more yesterday. You could see it. Like, he was nailing the fadeaway. He had a three ball that he shot with confidence. I'm like, I'm starting to see him come out of the darkness that has been this slump. So we'll see. That being said, I can't believe you did that, Spo. I can't believe you did that, dude. It was ridiculous. Let's get to another coach who sometimes looks bewildered. His name is Mike McDaniel. And Mike McDaniel, he was asked more about Tua throwing his head in there like a battering ram after throwing a pick. Here was Mike McDaniel speaking to the media on Tuesday.
No, yeah, I didn't waste much time saying something to him. Like he can't just think about his ability to stay healthy when he has the ball. It's also when you're trying to make a tackle, and I told him not to close his eyes next time. But yeah, I think he could also prevent that from occurring by, you know, avoiding throwing it to the other team, which he knows as well. So, you know, I think there's always things to improve upon and learn from, and he definitely had a learning moment there.
Yeah, it's scary. He needs to get that together. Ridiculous. A little bit more from Mike McDaniel. His guy, Raheem Mostert, didn't get any carries this last game. Of course, we were coming off a game where Raheem Mostert was old Butterfingers. He's done that 2 out of the last 3 games. Now, it was funny. This is not something that really dawned on me after the game. One, I think I was just happy that they were out of the losing streak. And two, Tua had that sick-ass throw to him where he rolled out and did the spin move. So I didn't really consider, oh, yeah, Raheem Mostert didn't get any carries. But he didn't get any carries. And here was Mike McDaniel explaining why 31 didn't tote the rock.
No, I think that, you know, we have a very talented backfield, and we're manipulating game plans week in, week out for a multitude of reasons. You know, I feel very confident with entrusting Raheem with our possession with the football, and you know he'll have plenty of plays that he'll make the rest of the season. The particular usage this past game was unique to the game plan, and you know we're and that's kind of the case when you have one football and multiple talented running backs that all contribute in various ways. It's still the leader of that room, and we'll be counting on him all season for us to get where we want to go.
So he took nearly a minute just to say, "I don't trust him anymore." With the
pretty much, or he gave him a diss. He's like, "Listen, I'm not giving you the rock until you know I feel now." Look. Raheem may look at the running backs and he's like, "Well, you guys, what did you have? Devon Achane, 12 carries, 37 yards, and Jalen Wright, 5 carries, 3 yards. Yeah, maybe enough, a little. I've learned my lesson. Let's get to it, you know?" Like, we've made our point here. Hello, Leroy.
What's up, guys?
Of course, Leroy would come right when you're about to play this.
You know what? I'll save it. We're up against it, but we got some anti Aaron Rodgers fodder that's hit the national air.
You see, look at him.
He's excited.
Hey, look how excited he is. Like your blue chew just hit him right now. Look at him.
Y'all just tell me. All I want to hear when the season over with is, you know what? He might have.
I told you that, Leroy.
Yeah, I know.
I said that. Come on.
We'll take a break and we'll bring you that Aaron Rodgers slander coming up next.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.